The last time we was talking about growing up in Cordova, can you tell me about that?
Well, I was born in Cordova May 21st, 1921, and I grew up there. I hadn't left home until I was 19. While I was growing up, it was 20 years. As I was going to school, friends and I, in summertime, we would hike up in the hills and go swimming in our nature suits. And then wintertime, of course, in the fall, my one buddy, him and I on the weekends, hunt ducks or grouse, hike out to one of the bays. There are two trails, and hike up into the dry bed there where the early in the morning when the grouse were feeding on fine pebbles, and we passed our time that way. Always something to do. Hunting, swimming, hiking, and wintertime, of course, we do a lot of sliding and skating, and life was very interesting.
What was Cordova like then?
Well, it was one of the Of course, I didn't know how to compare it with anywhere else, but it was known for the friendly city, and people were very friendly there, very friendly, and really opened their doors. I remember years later talking to a fella. He just came to Alaska, and he hasn't stopped in Cordova. From the dock to town was at least a 35-40 minute walk. He walked up and he was asking one guy where's the place he could stay cheap. Guy asked him if he had any money. He said no. Total stranger pulled out $20 and said, "Go get yourself a room and something to eat." He had no idea who the fellow was, but life was like that then. People never locked their doors. People helped one another. It was a beautiful lifestyle. People saved different things, bolts and nuts and odds and ends, because in them days you had to rely on one another, because we only in winter time we only had one boat on one to come to Cordova. In summertime, when the canneries were operating, then one once a week, and nobody had money to buy anything in them days, so everybody just helped one another by having something and they say, "Well, go to my beautiful in my shed and look left hand side of the door there and tell you where to find it." And that's the way it was with our lifestyle. People saved stuff because somebody needed it. And in your lifetime, you know, the circle was completed, because if I didn't have it, what I didn't have, you hadn't. So it was all horse trade and no money. And nobody said, "Well, I'll pay when I can." It was, everybody needed something and somebody had something. So, like I say, the circle completed. And, just a wonderful lifestyle.
So when did the copper mines open up around Cordova.
If I remember correctly, they started around 1906, and I think the first train got up to Kennecott either 1909 or 1910. I'm not real sure if it was one of the 2 years.
Did the mining company play a big part in the town, or was it too far away to really affect the goings on in the town? Was he a big employer of people in the town?
The mine was what built Cordova. Because anyone that's going to work there either had to come through Cordova, or you could come through a highway up, Richardson Highway up into Chittenden and on down to Kennecott. But the railroad came into Port of Cordova, and that's where they brought in all of their supplies, and that's where they shipped out all their ore right through Cordova. So without the mine, there wouldn't have been a Cordova at all. At the time they started building, there was one little tiny cannery right there in Cordova itself, up in what they called Odiak Slough. Other than the natives living down in Eyak Lake there, there was nothing.
So what effect did it have on Cordova when the mining operations stopped?
Well, like any other place, some of the people stayed there and retired there, but most of them left, and Cordova by then was pretty stable. Summertime you'd get 2,500, 3,000 people for the canneries, and then in wintertime it was pretty stable, 800 people pretty much every year. There was 1, 2, 3, 4 canneries right in Cordova then, salmon canneries. And then there was 1, 2, 3, 4 within 15 miles of Cordova. So then that's beside the canneries that were around the sound, mm-hmm. Prince William Sound. And there was some crab fishing during the winter. Not a lot. There's only about half a dozen boats that fished Dungeness crab right there. And in the springtime, towards the end of March, end of April, we started digging cat clams commercially. There was a couple of clam canneries and a couple of small hand-packed clam canneries. That usually lasted about a month to fill the quota of the year. And for that month we'd make $400 or $500 each. Back in the 30s was a lot of money. You would almost live a whole year on it.
Mm-hmm. And that was like during the Depression years?
during the Depression years, yeah. So, we knew what the Depression was through, of course, through the newspapers and radio, and also you went to a movie. Every time there's a movie, they had a film, what they called a Pathé News. It was about a 15-minute film of the happening of that through the United States, and it showed where there's red lines. Of course, life was, even at its best, was nobody was rich in them days, but there was a lot to live on. There was clams and crabs, salmon, deer. So anybody that went hungry, it was their fault. As long as you would make enough money to get your staples, you know, flour, sugar, milk, coffee, spuds, things, rice. As long as you things like that, you would always have something. Mm-hmm. But we never had what the lifestyle is today. We never ate like today. A lot of our food was plain, simple old brown beans or a pea soup. But they were the good sound food that good for everybody.
Now, what about when World War II broke out? You were in Cordova at that time, right?
No, I was here in Kodiak. Spring of 1940. There's a cannery over here looking for a couple of men to work in the cannery, and the cannery foreman lived in Cordova, so he hired us, and we came over here, Kodiak. That was in May, and I worked in the cannery, Port Williams. We first started, there was a strike on then, salmon, red salmon strike, so the company put us to work building a coal storage. And just about the time the strike was over, we had it completed enough so they could use it. It was pretty much completed. And then I worked there until 1st of November. After the canning was done, bunch of us stayed back, and we drove a new dock, an expansion program for the company. And then November I came here, and of course lots of work here. My girlfriend was here, so I stayed and went out, worked out the base when they were building the base there in Woman's Bay.
Navy base?
Yeah. Well, Navy, Army, mm-hmm. and of course the Marines were with the Navy there. And I worked there until February of 43, and then I quit. I knew I was going to get drafted, mm-hmm. and I just felt that I shouldn't be just drawing big pay. Of course, I was only making $1.31 an hour then. Mm-hmm. And, we got in some long hours, so I took home as much as $400 a week then.
That's a lot of money at that time.
Yeah, but we worked anywhere from 12 to 18 hours a day. We were handling dry cement. They were building the runways then, and so we were handling on the average of 5,000 sacks of cement a day. There were supposed to be 20 of us on that job, but two-thirds of the time there's only about 14 of us. So when that job finished, our boss was well pleased with us that stayed on, so he told us he'd recommend any job we want. And my buddy, he had run jackhammer before that, and I didn't know what a jackhammer was, so I went to work with him, and of course I learned that those heavy jackhammers were nothing but hard work in them days. Of course we were working out in the cold north wind blowing, and be around 15 above.
What was the feeling like around Kodiak at that time? Did you guys feel that the Japanese might be coming any time and maybe bombing Kodiak?
Well, I don't know how most of the people felt, but that Sunday morning I went to breakfast and I noticed a lot of the foremen were running around. Usually the breakfast was only half full, but I noticed a bunch of foremen running around to their different men, and then they'd eat fast and take off. I couldn't figure out what was going on, so on my way back to barracks I met my brother, and he said he is still going to work now. The Japs had bombed Pearl Harbor. Of course, you know, we were young, and well, in 6 months they'll have them down on their knees. It was a long 6 months.
Yeah. So how long did you, right after what you stayed in Kodiak from the time you got here until now? The Army never shipped you out any place?
Oh, well, when I quit, then the day I quit, I got notice to report from Cordova. The same day they mailed me a letter to report home to for induction. So I went home, and they sent me then to Valdez, and I got a little bit of training there, but then not too much. And then they were building up a little stevedore base in Valdez, and that camp was right there where the new Valdez is now. And they give me a saw and hammer. After the first part of 44, right, early 44, they transferred me to Whittier and transferred me to the harbor craft. Army had a bunch of shuttle boats for shuttling between the islands, for transporting supplies and soldiers. And so I was on Army boat out of Whittier there. At that time we traveled down as far as Prince Rupert, and then we were all along the coast out to Adak. Then in the end of 45, they shipped me back to Anchorage for discharge. And I got discharged March. I was in the Army just about a week and a half short of 3 years. Then I got out of the Army and, oh, I got married in the Army, and my wife lived in a fog neck, so I moved to the fog neck since I had a wife there. And then we moved, we were there a year and a half, then we moved to Kodiak so I could look for work. And we've been in Kodiak ever since.
Ever since, what, 45?
Well, I've been around Kodiak Island ever since 40, and with the exception of the 3 years in the Army, and then 45 I was in the fog neck. Then I think it was fall of 46 we moved to Kodiak, and we've been here ever since.
Well, I think that's about, should about do it, Pete.
That's it, Paul.
We got another side, if we can write this down and see what we got. But
that was